This is news from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from Salt Lake City. The Salt Lake Mormon Tabernacle Choir participated in inauguration ceremonies for Governor Michael O. Leavitt of the state of Utah. Gerald Otley, music director, says the significance of this is the fact that the choir hasn't performed for a state inauguration in 100 years.
I pondered in my own mind why it had been so long, but of course one has to take into consideration the sensitivities of the separation of church and state. So I think that there may have been some concern about that in the past, but here on the 100th anniversary, I think that it was perfectly logical for it to happen.
Otley says the performance was a special one, being in the state capitol and being at home.
Well, we're involved in ceremonial kinds of things very often and have done, in my tenure, 2 presidential inaugurations. But I'll be very honest with you to say that this was more meaningful because it was right here at home. It affects our lives more closely than the federal government does, and I just felt wonderful to be a part of it.
Logistically, it was challenging, says Otley, especially coming on the heels of the choir's Christmas performances. There were extra efforts necessary to get ready with the personally requested numbers by the governor, including the state song, America the Beautiful, and of course, the battle hymn of the Republic.
The whole physical circumstance up there was wonderful because it gave one a great sense of pride and belonging and being a part of what our lives are all about governmentally. So I personally felt very, very privileged to be involved with it.
Salt Lake Tabernacle Choir Music Director Gerald Otley. For the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the state of Utah, 1997 is a most historically significant and important year. Elder Joe J. Christensen, member of the presidency of the 70 of the church, is co-chairman of the Church Sesquicentennial Committee. Speaking during a special proclamation on the Year of the Pioneers at the Utah State Capitol Building, Elder Christensen said 1997 is also very meaningful to many of us individually, since among those pioneers were some of our ancestors.
When those pioneers entered this valley 150 years ago, they were looking for a home, a resting place, a place of peace, where they could worship as they desired without persecution, and where they could bid the nations welcome. When President Brigham Young, at the mouth of Emigration Canyon, surveyed the valley including Ensign Peak, which is to the north of the Capitol where we are today, he declared, "This is the right place. Drive on." He pronounced that by establishing their new city at the base of Ensign Peak, they should prosper. At great personal sacrifice and risk, they had traveled over 1,000 miles, looked beyond the desolate scenery, and began the remarkable process of colonization, which culminated in so much of the development we see around us today. Appropriately, the theme for our church's Pioneer Sesquicentennial is faith in every footstep, which reflects a central virtue of those and all other pioneers. What a year of jubilee this will be.
Between the two forks of City Creek, located immediately south of the state capitol building, Elder Christensen said President Brigham Young designated the site for the future temple. A 2-square-mile city was laid out from that point, and you may be interested to know that the 10-acre-old fort was established at the present-day Pioneer Park. Elder Christensen said there will be many events to celebrate this historic trek and arrival.
In commemoration, the list of events includes many throughout the state of Utah, all along the Mormon Pioneer Trail, particularly through Nebraska, Wyoming, and Utah, as well as commemorative activities sponsored by the units of our church throughout the world. Emphasis is being placed upon the legacy of faith and the dedication of pioneers in all times and places. As a token of appreciation for the support and kindness received from neighbors throughout the world, and in memory of those who have gone before, a Pioneer Heritage Service Day will occur on Saturday, July 19, 1997. It is anticipated that worldwide, the cumulative impact of the community service rendered to enhance and beautify the cities and towns in which we live will be in excess of 400 man years. We appreciate this opportunity to join with our Governor Leavitt in initiating this year of tribute to our pioneers who have left us a legacy as firm and strong as the granite in the mountains around us. For all of us, as the pioneers hoped, may this place, in reality, be a home a resting place, a place of peace.
That was Elder Joe J. Christensen of the Presidency of the 70 of the Church. Brigham Young University President Merrill J. Bateman began the new semester with a devotional address on the role of faith in our lives. Julie Ann Walker reports.
He said, faith is fundamental to the way we think and act.
Faith is both a principle and a process. It defines the path by which a person builds a relationship of trust with the Savior. In order for faith to develop, one must begin with a humble heart and contrite spirit, have a strong desire to know the Lord, and then be obedient to gospel principles. If one does that, the Savior rewards the obedient with spiritual confirmations of his or her actions. As faith grows, one's vision of eternity expands, which increases a person's capacity to meet life's challenges. As an individual becomes more familiar with the Lord's plan of happiness, he or she understands that trials and adversity occur for many reasons and are part of the testing and growth process.
President Bateman said ancient and modern-day prophets have taught that life is a time for us to be tested. He said faith not only allows us to endure in difficult times, but it also makes us more submissive to the Lord's will in our lives. He said that the Apostle Paul and the prophet Joseph Smith have both provided perspectives on the definition of faith.
Paul's definition of faith is as follows. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Although I use this scripture as a missionary to explain to investigators the concept of faith, I have to admit I did not grasp fully the meaning of Paul's succinct statement, and I suspect that many of my investigators wondered as well. Further, I did not appreciate the lessons of faith taught by his illustrations that followed the definition. A few years ago, I discovered that the prophet Joseph Smith made a simple change in Paul's statement when he translated the Bible. In the Joseph Smith translation, the prophet changed the word substance to assurance. Thus, the Joseph Smith translation definition reads, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The word assurance provides insight as to the foundation upon which faith is built. It suggests that the underpinning of one's faith or belief is an internal spiritual witness. The word substance suggests something tangible. The word assurance indicates a spiritual affirmation of the things hoped for. As Moroni promised, belief and works will be followed by a witness of the Spirit. In my early years, I was confused by the fact that some individuals read the Book of Mormon, prayed about it, and received the witness promised, while others seemed to follow the same course but never received the witness. I have since learned that it is not God who is random, but us mortals. Some individuals don't believe they will receive a spiritual prompting even though they may pray. Others are not diligent in applying the truths they have been taught. An important lesson of life is to learn that the Father and the Son deliver on their promises. One should remember, however, that the Holy Ghost's witness comes after the trial of faith, and not necessarily on our time schedule.
President Bateman told students to trust in Jesus Christ, and that obedience to the principles of the restored gospel brings answers to prayer and divine help in our lives. Reporting from BYU, this is Julianne Walker.
A Salt Lake City Center for Family Entertainment may receive a facelift. Church spokesman Arnold Augustin explains in this statement.
The presiding bishopric of the church has announced that an engineering study is underway on the Promise Valley Playhouse, that's in downtown Salt Lake City, and that the building will be closed pending a review of the results. That building is nearly a century old. It's in need of substantial renovation and repair. For the past quarter century, the church has staged a wide variety of theatrical productions at the Playhouse, the most recent being the holiday show called The Gift of Christmas. The last performance occurred December 28th.
During a church educational system fireside, Relief Society General President Elaine Jack focused on how the spiritual quality of patience relates to our relationship with Jesus Christ. Here with the story is Suzette Shields.
She said, patience of hope is an active part of our testimony of Jesus Christ.
Patience of hope in Jesus Christ demonstrates our understanding that there is more to existence than just today, more than our current problems, more than what we need or want now. This form of patience is often described in terms like serenity, peace, quiet resolve, and dignity. Patience displays confidence that not my will, but thine be done, that all things will be accomplished in the Lord's way. We should not make the mistake of viewing patience as being idle, indifferent, apathetic, or nonchalant. Patience does not abdicate responsibility, nor does it simply give us a seat on the sideline of events. Patience brings balance and perspective. Think about it. We need patience most when things seem out of control or out of step with what we had intended. Patience has to be applied immediately, and often to wounds that are slow to heal.
President Jack encouraged students to be patient with life's experiences. She said impatience is to try to assert our own timetable on life and to assume we know more than God knows. President Jack said exercising patience now in our daily lives prepares us for what lies ahead.
Sometimes our pattern and response to difficulty is to circumvent the situation rather than to step back and try to learn from it. We become immersed in the circumstances and lose sight of the long-range goal. A better approach is to do what we can, being steadfast and immovable in keeping the commandments, and carrying in our hearts the assurance that the Lord is with us, and our patience will turn the tide.
President Jack encouraged students to search the Scriptures for comfort and patience of hope. Reporting from BYU, I'm Suzette Shields.
Arranging your schedule so you can spend time with your children. That's the topic of the Faith and Families Report. I'm Tracy Caford. Research shows parents are spending more time at work and less time at home with their kids. Kathleen Zick is a professor in the Department of Family and Consumer Studies at the University of Utah.
When both parents are employed, parents are more likely to spend time in shared activities. Those would be things like sitting down and eating together or doing housework together, so involving the child in some kind of productive activity in the home.
Zick says mothers and fathers value time with their children and wish they could spend more.
Some children obviously need very focused attention where they feel like the parent is giving them 100% of the attention at that point in time. Other children are eager to learn and mimic parents in terms of other activities like, you know, doing housework or helping to prepare a meal.
And that's the Faith and Families Report. I'm Tracy Caford.
And that's news from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Salt Lake City. This is news from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from Salt Lake City. The Salt Lake Mormon Tabernacle Choir participated in inauguration ceremonies for Governor Michael O. Leavitt of the state of Utah. Gerald Otley, music director, says the significance of this is the fact that the choir hasn't performed for a state inauguration in 100 years.
I pondered in my own mind why it had been so long, but of course one has to take into consideration the sensitivities of the separation of church and state. So I think that there may have been some concern about that in the past, but here on the 100th anniversary, I think that it was perfectly logical for it to happen.
Utley says the performance was a special one, being in the state capitol and being at home.
Well, we're involved in ceremonial kinds of things very often and have done, in my tenure, two presidential inaugurations. But I'll be very honest with you to say that this was more meaningful because it was right here at home. It affects our lives more closely than the federal government does, and I just felt wonderful to be a part of it.
Logistically, it was challenging, says Utley, especially coming on the heels of the choir's Christmas performances. There were extra efforts necessary to get ready with the personally requested numbers by the governor, including the state song, America the Beautiful, and, of course, the battle hymn of the Republic.
The whole physical circumstance up there was wonderful because it gave one a great sense of pride and belonging and being a part of what our lives are all about governmentally. So I personally felt very, very privileged to be involved with it.
Salt Lake Tabernacle Choir Music Director Gerald Otley. For the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the state of Utah, 1997 is the most historically significant and important year. Elder Joe J. Christensen, member of the presidency of the 70 of the Church, is co-chairman of the Church Sesquicentennial Committee. Speaking during a special proclamation on the Year of the Pioneers at the Utah State Capitol Building, Elder Christensen said 1997 is also very meaningful to many of us individually, since among those pioneers were some of our ancestors.
When those pioneers entered this valley 150 years ago, they were looking for a home, a resting place, a place of peace, where they could worship as they desired without persecution, and where they could bid the nations welcome. When President Brigham Young, at the mouth of Immigration Canyon, surveyed the valley including Ensign Peak, which is to the north of the Capitol where we are today, he declared, "This is the right place. Drive on." He pronounced that by establishing their new city at the base of Ensign Peak, they should prosper. At great personal sacrifice and risk, they had traveled over 1,000 miles, looked beyond the desolate scenery, and began the remarkable process of colonization, which culminated in so much of the development we see around us today. Appropriately, the theme for our church's Pioneer Sesquicentennial is Faith in Every Footstep, which reflects a central virtue of those and all other pioneers. What a year of jubilee this will be.
Between the two forks of City Creek, located immediately south of the State Capitol building, Elder Christensen said President Brigham Young designated the site for the future temple. A two-square-mile city was laid out from that point, and you may be interested to know that the 10-acre-old fort was established at the present-day Pioneer Park. Elder Christensen said there will be many events to celebrate this historic trek and arrival.
In commemoration, the list of events includes many throughout the state of Utah, all along the Mormon Pioneer Trail, particularly through Nebraska, Wyoming, and Utah, as well as commemorative activities sponsored by the units of our church throughout the world. Emphasis is being placed upon the legacy of faith and the dedication of pioneers in all times and places. As a token of appreciation for the support and kindness received from neighbors throughout the world, and in memory of those who have gone before, a Pioneer Heritage Service Day will occur on Saturday, July 19, 1997. It is anticipated that worldwide, the cumulative impact of the community service rendered to enhance and beautify the cities and towns in which we live will be in excess of 400 man years. We appreciate this opportunity to join with our Governor Leavitt in initiating this year of tribute to our pioneers who have left us a legacy as firm and strong as the granite in the mountains around us. For all of us, as the pioneers hoped, may this place, in reality, be a home, a resting place, a place of peace.
That was Elder Joe J. Christensen of the Presidency of the 70 of the Church. Brigham Young University President Merrill J. Bateman began the new semester with a devotional address on the role of faith in our lives. Julie Ann Walker reports.
He said, "Faith is fundamental to the way we think and act.
Faith is both a principle and a process. It defines the path by which a person builds a relationship of trust with the Savior. In order for faith to develop, one must begin with a humble heart and contrite spirit. have a strong desire to know the Lord, and then be obedient to gospel principles. If one does that, the Savior rewards the obedient with spiritual confirmations of his or her actions. As faith grows, one's vision of eternity expands, which increases a person's capacity to meet life's challenges. As an individual becomes more familiar with the Lord's plan of happiness, he or she understands that trials and adversity occur for many reasons and are part of the testing and growth process.
President Bateman said ancient and modern-day prophets have taught that life is a time for us to be tested. He said faith not only allows us to endure in difficult times, but it also makes us more submissive to the Lord's will in our lives. He said that the Apostle Paul and the prophet Joseph Smith have both provided perspectives on the definition of faith.
Paul's definition of faith is as follows. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Although I use this scripture as a missionary to explain to investigators the concept of faith, I have to admit I did not grasp fully the meaning of Paul's succinct statement. And I suspect that many of my investigators wondered as well. Further, I did not appreciate the lessons of faith taught by his illustrations that followed the definition. A few years ago, I discovered that the prophet Joseph Smith made a simple change in Paul's statement when he translated the Bible. In the Joseph Smith translation, the prophet changed the word substance to assurance. Thus, the Joseph Smith translation definition reads, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The word assurance provides insight as to the foundation upon which faith is built. It suggests that the underpinning of one's faith or belief is an internal spiritual witness. The word substance suggests something tangible. The word assurance indicates a spiritual affirmation of the things hoped for. As Moroni promised, belief and work will be followed by a witness of the Spirit. In my early years, I was confused by the fact that some individuals read the Book of Mormon, prayed about it, and received the witness promised, while others seemed to follow the same course but never received the witness. I have since learned that it is not God who is random, but us mortals. Some individuals don't believe they will receive a spiritual prompting, even though they may pray. Others are not diligent in applying the truths they have been taught. An important lesson of life is to learn that the Father and the Son deliver on their promises. One should remember, however, that the Holy Ghost's witness comes after the trial of faith, and not necessarily on our time schedule.
President Bateman told students to trust in Jesus Christ and that obedience to the principles of the restored gospel brings answers to prayer and divine help in our lives. Reporting from BYU, this is Julianne Walker.
A Salt Lake City Center for Family Entertainment may receive a facelift. Church spokesman Arnold Augustin explains in this statement.
The presiding bishopric of the church has announced that an engineering study is underway on the Promise Valley Playhouse. That's in downtown Salt Lake City. And that the building will be closed pending a review of the results. That building is nearly a century old. It's in need of substantial renovation and repair. For the past quarter century, the church has staged a wide variety of theatrical productions at the Playhouse, the most recent being the holiday show called The Gift of Christmas. The last performance occurred December 28th.
During a church educational system fireside, Relief Society General President Elaine Jack focused on how the spiritual quality of patience relates to our relationship with Jesus Christ. Here with the story is Suzette Shields.
She said, "Patience of hope is an active part of our testimony of Jesus Christ.
Patience of hope in Jesus Christ demonstrates our understanding that there is more to existence than just today, more than our current problems, more than what we need or want now. This form of patience is often described in terms like serenity, peace, quiet resolve, and dignity. Patience displays confidence that not my will, but thine be done. but all things will be accomplished in the Lord's way. We should not make the mistake of viewing patience as being idle, indifferent, apathetic, or nonchalant. Patience does not abdicate responsibility, nor does it simply give us a seat on the sideline of events. Patience brings balance and perspective. Think about it. We need patience most when things seem out of control or out of step with what we had intended. Patience has to be applied immediately and often to wounds that are slow to heal.
President Jack encouraged students to be patient with life's experiences. She said impatience is to try to assert our own timetable on life and to assume we know more than God knows. President Jack said exercising patience now in our daily lives prepares us for what lies ahead.
Sometimes our pattern and response to difficulty is to circumvent the situation rather than to step back and try to learn from it. We become immersed in the circumstances and lose sight of the long-range goal. A better approach is to do what we can, being steadfast and immovable in keeping the commandments, and carrying in our hearts the assurance that the Lord is with us and our patience will turn the tide.
President Jack encouraged students to search the scriptures for comfort and patience of hope. Reporting from BYU, I'm Suzette Shields.
Arranging your schedule so you can spend time with your children. That's the topic of the Faith and Families Report. I'm Tracy Caford. Research shows parents are spending more time at work and less time at home with their kids. Kathleen Zick is a professor in the Department of Family and Consumer Studies at the University of Utah.
When both parents are employed, parents are more likely to spend time in shared activities. Those would be things like sitting down and eating together or doing housework together, so involving the child in some kind of productive activity in the home.
Zick says mothers and fathers value time with their children and wish they could spend more.
Some children obviously need very focused attention where they feel like the parent is giving them 100% of the attention at that point in time. Other children are eager to learn and mimic parents in terms of other activities like, you know, doing housework or helping to prepare a meal.
And that's the Faith and Families Report. I'm Tracy Caford.
And that's news from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Salt Lake City.